Welcome to Doc Talk, Venturing Beyond a Master's. In today's episode, find out how an opportunity our guest had in junior high enabled him to do things a bit differently in life than most of his peers where he grew up in inner city Philadelphia. Welcome to Doc Talk, where we discuss all things doctoral. Been there, done that? Then we want to hear from you. Want to be there? Want to do that? Then this is the place to be. Still trying to figure it all out? Yeah, so am I. So come on, let's do this. Let's venture beyond a master's. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about today's guest. Before earning his doctorate, our guest earned a Master's of Education in Counseling from Boston University and a Master of Science degree in Computer Science from George Washington University. He is a 1973 graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point and the founder of the SAT and ACT Score Improvement Program. Our guest is also the 2005 recipient of the Black Engineer of the Year Award for Professional Achievement in Industry. So join me as I chat today with Dr. Dennis Rowe for part one of two of his story. Let's do this. All right. So today I get to interview my very first guest on the podcast, my father, Dr. Dennis William Rowe. And just for the benefit of our listeners, I just kind of want to share a little bit of background as to how this podcast came about. So I was looking back in my iCloud notes on my phone, and I noticed that on November 6th of 2013, that's what, 5 years ago? 4 years ago now. Yes, 4 years ago. Now, I wrote a note that basically expressed my interest in starting a doctoral program. And my comment or note to self was basically, I think I want to get a PhD in something. Just having one interests me. I've thought about this a lot and it came to mind again today. What would I get it in? So that was my note to self. Anyhow, a couple summers ago, Dennis and Kirsten and I were all kind of talking over Facebook, I think it was Facebook or FaceTime chat. And we're just kind of brainstorming some things that I could do because I thought, maybe a podcast would be kind of neat. And one of the things, Dennis, and for those of you who aren't familiar with my family, Dennis is my brother, my younger brother. And he said, well, how about a podcast in something that you're interested in? And, you know, I racked my brain, and finally I said, you know what? I've always been interested in coming up with a PhD or pursuing a PhD, but I wouldn't know what to get it in. I'm not really sure. So that is where this idea has come from. We know this, the podcast is called Doc Talk, and it's all about, you know, talking to folks who have ventured beyond a master's degree and what they've done beyond that. So really, I am excited to hear about your experience, Daddy, as we sit here and chat about, you know, your experience. Now, I'm going to share with everyone a bit about your background. You'd think after 39 years of life, I'd have this thing memorized, but I don't, so I'm going to use my notes. Anyhow, my father, Dr. Dennis Rowe, once again, is currently a principal engineer at the MITRE Corporation's Center for Advanced Aviation System Development. So in this capacity, you've actually helped shape the direction of several major federal aviation or FAA programs over the years. And you've been with MITRE for what, 35 years?
Yes, now? Right now I'm in my 35th year with the MITRE Corporation.
Okay, so you've been with MITRE almost as long as I have been alive, practically.
Yeah, just a little longer.
A little bit longer. Mm. All right. So your research in new airspace designs and concepts have played a major role and a very crucial role in the evolution of the U.S. air traffic control system.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. You are a recipient of the National Black Engineer Year of the Award for Professional Achievement in Industry. And the Union League of Philadelphia's first ever Alumni Achievement Award. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, at least the latter award. Interestingly, I was, as a junior high school student, right around the 8th or 9th grade, I was a Union League Award recipient. And that, I think, is what set up this award many years later in my life. The Union League was looking to provide an award for folks who had previously been awarded the award when they were students, right around the freshman year in high school. And for me, that was late in junior high school. Well, at any rate, I was contacted and asked if I would consider submitting a resume in terms of the things I had done in my professional life. And I did that, and lo and behold, I was selected and received that first alumni award from the Union League of Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Another accomplishment to add to your list of many.
Yeah, I was very pleased to have been a recipient there.
Yeah, very honored, I'm sure. Yeah, so you're also you just mentioned junior high school, but you spent your high school years at Valley Forge Military Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us a little bit about what you took you from junior high school in Philadelphia out to Valley, a little further out to Valley Forge?
Yeah, sure. Well, we had a priest, an Episcopal priest at the church I attended. Father Martin was his name. And I remember one Saturday, Father asked if I wanted to come to watch, come to his place to watch an Army-Navy game. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. I guess I could do that. So I went over to his house, which was just adjacent to the church, and watched the game. And I remember during the time that we were watching the game, he asked me, do you think you might want to attend a school like Annapolis or West Point? And, well, of course, I didn't know much about Annapolis or West Point at the time, but, you know, I was watching the midshipmen marching onto the field and the cadets marching on and then watching the game being played. And I said, well, yes, rather innocently, I said, yes. Well, wouldn't you know it, one thing led to another. So Father Martin contacted my parents and said, hey, you know, Dennis might be interested in doing something like a military school. I am friends with the superintendent of Valley Forge Military Academy, which was a high school, junior college, a military school, if you will, on the outskirts of Philadelphia. And long story short, I ended up going to do some testing there. And as a result of the testing, the Military Academy awarded me a half scholarship to attend high school there for my 10th, 11th, and 12th grade years. And that's kind of how I ended up there. And that's the way the story went.
Yeah, and that is, I don't want to say it's rare, but it wasn't your everyday occurrence for a young man such as yourself growing up in Philadelphia.
That's right. In inner city of Philadelphia, in a predominantly black neighborhood, I can honestly say that most of my peers were not doing things like that. And what it did is it gave me an opportunity, I think, to do things a little bit differently in life because I had that opportunity, that experience there at the Valley Forge Military Academy.
So you graduated from Valley Forge in 1969?
That is correct.
1969, and after Valley Forge, you went on to your alma mater, your college alma mater, which is?
The United States Military Academy at West Point. I was able to get a nomination from my congressman in Philadelphia to attend West Point. And that's what I did directly after high school.
That's neat. So Let's see. So 1969 and 4 years through the academy. What did you study while you were at West Point? I know, being a grad myself, I know that it's a busy time. Every minute of your day is consumed. But so you were studying a number of things, everything from knowledge to academic studies as well. So tell us about your time, if you can encapsulate that for us.
Yeah, sure can. Four years in about 60 seconds or less.
Take your time.
The course of study at that point in time at West Point for all cadets, and there were about 4,000 of us, was a course of study in engineering, and I would say general engineering. We had no majors per se, so what we studied were things that you would find in any college curriculum in engineering. We had all of the maths that you can imagine, all of the calculus, the differential, the integral calculus. We had vector calculus. Then we had a lot of engineering specific sorts of things like electrical engineering. We had mechanical engineering. We had thermodynamics. Mm. We had physics, chemistry and physics, nuclear physics. Mm. And of course, you could spend a lot of time at the upper level courses in any of those areas. Interestingly, I didn't find engineering to be my strong suit. And what I did in terms of my electives, all of my electives were on the soft side of things. I took all of the German courses that I could take, as German was my language there at West Point. The mandatory 2 years, but then I took all of the electives in my junior and senior years. I took all of the social science type courses, sociology, social psychology, psychology. Anyway, I took a lot of those courses because I really enjoyed those sorts of things and learning about the dynamics that make humans do what they do and interact with each other the way we see humans interacting with each other.
So if you had to pick one type of engineering, you listed a whole bunch of, you know, types of engineering courses that you had to take or were available to take. I think you probably had to take them. Which would you say you would have naturally gravitated towards most?
Well, I think the one that that eventually played out in my professional life, well, my educational life and professional life, was the computer science area. Mm-hmm. I took a course in Valley Forge Military Academy that was one of the first courses that was offered at the school in computer science. Mm-hmm. And this was a course of study that allowed us to go to Villanova University and create the computer programs running our punched cards our punched Fortran cards through their system to get the problems to work.
Those cards you said you never wanted to drop, right?
Those cards you never wanted to drop. No, you certainly wanted to keep them in order at all times. But at any rate, that's I would say the computer science area.
Computer science
was the one.
All right. And I have to tell you, your love for languages and the softer side of things definitely, you know, was passed down to me. And we definitely appreciated your help with German translation that summer we went to Germany. I'm just impressed that you could. So as a French speaker, right, I don't think I'll ever forget how to understand French. Like if someone's speaking to me, I will always understand them. There are times when I have a chance to speak that I get caught up on words. But when we went to Germany that summer and you were just speaking, sprechen Sie Deutsch, you know, auf Deutsch, I was really blown away by that. Really, really impressed that you were able to retain that and just pull that out and get us from here to there and ordering meals and things in German.
Ah, well, thank you. I think maybe a few common phrases helped to get us through. I do recall some rather interesting situations that we found ourselves in. For instance, when we had we had an accident with the car,
yes.
And trying to deal with the police,
yes.
The gendarmerie, the all of those, the Polizei, yeah, that's right, the Polizei, I guess, in German. But yeah, I do remember some rather interesting moments there.
Yeah, that's oh gosh, that Volkswagen, what was that, a bus that ran us off the road?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's computer science. Now, just real quick before we go into your, you hold a bachelor's degree in engineering from the academy, mm-hmm. from West Point, and you also earned a master of science degree in computer science from the George Washington University. So we can see that carryover from your interest in college to your first master's education program. And then you went on to a master of education degree in counseling from Boston University. So how did you decide to do from computer science to counseling? What was...
Yeah, actually, it was just the other way around.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Your counseling, you were in Massachusetts well before you were at GW.
That's great.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me out there.
Okay. Yeah, and I was at the... Well, the question is, how did I get interested in the master's degree in counseling?
Yes.
From Boston University.
Yes.
That program. Well, I happened to have been in Germany at the time.
Okay.
And it was my my involvement with my fiance, at the soon to be wife at that time. She had signed up for a master's program with Boston University. We were living in separate areas of Germany at the time, and she said, "Hey, why don't you look into maybe becoming a part of this program yourself?" And I also had, I guess, a mentor back then. A warrant officer in the Army who suggested, "Hey, since you're here, you might as well try to pick up a degree. That will certainly be a feather in your cap at some point in time."
Mm.
So I thought about that, and I said, "Well, it looks like I've got some time to devote to a course of study, and it looked like something that I might be interested in. It was in education. I'd never really pondered education before, but I figured, well, let me get started on this thing." So my fiance and I started at two different locations. Over the course of time, we got married, and then we were traveling all around Germany taking courses that would eventually lead to the Master of Education degree with Boston University.
Okay, so my timeline is a little bit off. Mm-hmm. I know you met Mommy at Fort Devens,
mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts.
That's correct.
Is the reason you selected the program through the Boston University because of something that either she or you knew about back when you were stationed at Fort Devens? Or it just so happened that in Germany, when you're stationed in Germany, the program happened to be from the same state?
Yes.
You had just come from.
I think, well, it was kind of coincidental. It was a program, but yeah.
That was,
no, it had nothing to do with Fort Devens, believe it or not, the fact that it was a Boston University program. It's just that the program was being offered overseas, the Boston University overseas program for military primarily. Now, civilians attended classes and obtained degrees as well. DOD... Department of Defense teachers would take that sort of course of study, being educators, getting a master's in education, those who didn't have a master's degree. So we found ourselves in class with not only military, but also the civilian side of the communities as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the counseling came first, and then the George Washington University with a degree in engineering. You earned your degree there. Oh, before we go on, that advice that warrant officer gave you is something like pretty much the exact same advice you gave me when I was stationed at my first duty station at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have the time.
Yeah.
It's going to pass whether you do it or not. Might as well do it. So.
Might as well do it. That's exactly right.
Some great advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And I think I've passed that advice on to many other folks over time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that our family has pretty much done that. Not only my wife, Harriet, but also You, Allison, as one of my children, and the other children as well. Mm-hmm. I think they've all tried to make use of their time where they could pick up an advanced degree in a particular area to do that that sort of thing. My son Dennis is doing that right now.
Yeah.
He's obtaining a master's degree, and I think he's pretty close to halfway through the program, as I can recall.
Outstanding. So, let's see here. One thing I wanted to point out before we hop into your doctoral studies. You were the inspiration, actually you were the founder of a program. I think it's very significant to share with our listeners. A program that has helped high school students and even, you know, college prep students get in to your alma mater, the United States Military Academy at West Point, by creating a program that was geared towards helping students improve their SAT and ACT scores. Now, the neat thing about this is you took some information from a diversity conference, you know, a conference that the admissions office at the Academy held back in 2005, and that said, hey, what can we do to get our, you know, have, you know, minority numbers up in the Academy? I mean, we're lacking here. Our numbers at the Academy do not reflect the numbers for certain, you know, ethnicities or racial, you know, groups that are represented in the officer corps in the Army. And I really like what you did. You took that and you said we need to do something about this, and you started to do work pro bono, I mean, just out of the goodness of your heart and because you want to do something for your, you know, give back, and you created a score improvement team. Can you tell us, share a little bit about your score improvement team? And
Sure. I think I'd have to take you back, though, to my high school years.
Oh, sure.
My junior and senior years in high school when I was taking the SAT. And I had to take this SAT a few times before attending West Point. Six times, to be honest with you. I didn't know about an ACT at that time, but I certainly knew about the SAT, and that's what we took there at Valley Forge Military Academy, primarily. My recollection was I didn't do very well on that standardized test. And I didn't do much better on the sixth test than I did on the first test, but I kept at it. I kept taking it because I wanted to try to get the best score that I could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a seed was planted back then, and the seed was it was kind of subconscious, I guess. You know, there must be something to this test. I knew it wasn't necessarily something that was going to define me, but I was very interested in getting my best score, and I figured there must be something that folks are doing to figure out how to score well on this test. Well, at any rate, many years went by, and you know, we had children, and I figured I would watch my children as they were coming through high school and watch how they performed on the test. And you know, interestingly, they performed pretty much like I performed, and I said, that's interesting. Well, one day, an educator came to from Ohio, came to the Northern Virginia area, and he was doing a seminar on the SAT, and he was going to kind of advise on how best the students could go about scoring well on that test. Well, I went along with my son, who was in the process of taking a standardized test at the time, in addition to my wife. And we sat there for the better portion of 4 hours on a Saturday morning. And as I sat there and I heard him go through the various pieces of the test, I went, there's something to this. And it really piqued my curiosity. So much so that I wanted to, along with my son, study how to go about getting a good score on the SAT. So my son and I, over the course of the next few weeks, studied together. Now, this was in October of my son's, I'm going to say, junior year. And we studied together on Saturdays, primarily when we had time together.
By this time, I was already out of the house.
Yes, you were gone.
I was gone.
You were gone at that time, right. You had already...
So I heard about this, but yeah. I wasn't there to experience it firsthand.
Yes. So now, at this point in time, I had a few advanced degrees and so forth, but I can honestly say it wasn't those advanced degrees that helped me do well on the standardized test. It was really knowing the tips and techniques of how to go about scoring well that really made a difference, and practicing those techniques. So my son and I signed up for the January SAT, and we went off to a high school not far from us there in Northern Virginia. My son sat in one seat. I sat in the seat right behind him. I was either in front of him or behind him. I remember we were there together, and I went about taking the SAT.
You sat through the whole thing.
Yes, yeah. And I scored very well. I scored hundreds of points higher than I did when I was in high school, and it wasn't because I had learned all this stuff. I had just learned how to take this test and to do well on the test that I was being given. Mm. And I'd have to say I practiced those things that would give me success on the test. So I said, well, you know, if I could benefit from something like this, and certainly my son benefited from it, he increased his scores as well.
Right.
Other students could probably benefit as well. And I think that's when I realized, yeah, okay. Maybe I could share some of this information with others. I shared it with our local high school community and high schools in our general area there in Northern Virginia, and it seemed to have been well received. It was well attended, you know, when I was able to do a session here, session there, that I think kind of prepared me for creating this program that would help students get into the United States Military Academy who needed to get certain scores in order to do that.
So yeah, you've had the experience yourself, which is always helpful. Yeah, right. I sat through the test, studied for this test, I sat through the test myself. Mm-hmm. Then you were able to come up with a really great program to help other folks. Now, what I think is really neat is that you've been able to work with students, not just in the U.S., but like continental U.S., but all over the world, practically, mm-hmm. like different continents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all telephonic.
Yeah, telephonic. I would say it's using Skype, FaceTime, things of that nature,
right,
for folks outside, because you don't want to get into the long distance
phone calls. Right,
yeah.
Right.
The techniques and the tools and so forth are being passed on, much like the telephonic, straight telephonic way within the United States.
And you've built a wonderful team of several folks and have helped hundreds of candidates of diverse backgrounds achieve the qualifying scores they need to attend the academy.
That's right.
So I think that is really awesome. And not just the academy, but the prep school, mm-hmm. And other locations or other schools as well. So mm-hmm. that's really awesome. Now, you hold a Doctor of Science degree in engineering, and more specifically in what?
Computer science.
There's computer science again. Okay, yeah. And then also from George Washington University.
Also, yes.
Let me ask you, Daddy, how did you decide to pursue a PhD?
Well, at the time that I was thinking through this, I was living and working overseas for the MITRE Corporation, and located in Brussels, Belgium. I actually started looking at taking a degree program in Belgium. Mm. I had looked at, I had gone out to the university there at one point, and at the University of Leuven, and Louvain, and I was talking with some of the professors there, and had looked at doing some things there, but I wasn't persuaded that was really where I wanted to end up. But what I did is, shortly thereafter, when I returned to the United States, I figured, well, the interest is still there to look at doing something, maybe in the computer science area. And I figured, I spent time at getting a master's degree at George Washington University. I'm now back in the D.C. area again. Maybe I'll touch base with George Washington and see if I might be able to explore a program with them. But I had this this desire to further my education. I figured I had for several years done the undergrad, shortly thereafter a master's in education, right after that a master's in computer science. But there had been many years since I had had formal education in that way. And I said, you know, I feel like I need to maybe hone my skills, maybe add a few more tools to my toolkit. And I said, yeah, maybe picking up a doctor of science degree might be the way to do that.
Okay. And was it specifically to help you in your profession?
I figured it would help in my profession. My profession has to do with providing insight, analyses, writing papers on how to transition, typically, automation capabilities from one state to another, to maybe phase out old automation, bring in new automation. I said, yeah, let me see what some of the latest book learning, facts and figures might have to do with that in terms of a formal education. I could pick up a degree in computer science and do that very thing.
Be sure to join me next week for part two as we continue Dr. Rowe's story.
This is your host, Allison Marchine, and I'm so glad you were here. And I'm looking forward to the next time. Let's do this again.